Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Blessed greetings and love. Welcome to Bob Radio, Carlton Livingston. How you doing?
I'm great this evening. Big up each and everyone out there.
Yeah, man. Well, if you guys don't know who Carlton Livingston is, he's been doing music since the 70s, worked with a lot of people, still doing music now, all kinds of brand new stuff. So if they don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about your history? And so people can find out how you got your background, the church, a friend, how'd it go?
Well, I was born in St. Mary, the parish of St. Mary in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And I started out in the church. My mother used to play the pipe organ.
Okay.
So she used to drag me to church.
Okay.
And I was on the church choir.
All right.
For a while, then I moved to Kingston, and after I moved to Kingston, after a couple of years, mm-hmm. I started to sing. I was on the school choir. Junior Secondary School and Trenton Comprehensive.
Okay.
And then after going to Trenton Comprehensive, when I really get into singing.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. So now I've just read some interviews and stuff just to get some information from you. You sang and you DJed and you went back to singing and you worked with Lone Ranger and all different kinds of things.
Oh yeah, I started out DJing, and Ranger was the singer until we both find our outlet when he started to DJ and I took up singing, you know,
okay.
Instead of DJing.
So how did that switch? How did you go from DJ to singing? I mean, like, some DJs just stay DJ. They don't want to sing J or mix it. They just want to stay DJ style.
You know what? To this day, I usually ask Ranger, and he looked at me and was like, I don't even know. For me, I don't even know when the switch came. It just happened, and we never noticed it. I guess for me, it was my voice. I didn't have that voice to be a DJ.
Okay.
I was more a subtle person.
Okay.
A DJ, you have to have a personality that's kind of rough, and I didn't have it, so
yeah.
I just stick to singing.
Yeah, a little boasty. You have to be a little boasty to be a DJ.
There you go.
And you're a little more subdued, a little more chill, which is very cool. We love that. So now this song was called The Fantastic Three or Soul Express or something?
It was Fantastic Three because three of us started it.
So you, Ranger, and who else?
Well, Ranger didn't start the song. Ranger was the only part of the song as the singer.
Okay.
And I started the song with Noel Smith and Clive Vassell.
Okay.
Then it evolved to Soul Express.
Okay. And then, so is it because you guys were playing a lot of soul music, or because why?
No. What it is was that after a while, We were playing basically the same thing. We were playing we started playing rubber dub, you know, like we were playing like mostly Coxon Treasure Isle dub albums.
Okay.
You know, but when the music kind of evolved a little bit more, we started to play like soul because we realized that, you know, we had to get certain you know, capture a certain crowd that was going around. Right. So we started to play soul music. So we were really like robot up sound playing soul music.
Okay. I get it. Very cool. Very cool. And this was like late '70s, mid '70s?
Late '70s.
Okay.
Like 74, 70, mid '70s, 74, 75 come up, yes.
Okay. And then, so, then you started getting into recording, and then you released your first single, Tale of Two Cities, yeah?
I started recording, like, I think about 77, 78.
Okay.
And I first went to Coxon and did Why. Then I went to Channel One and did Tale of Two Cities, and Channel One was the first recording company to release my songs.
Oh, okay. So you had already been recording, and you put some stuff down in the studio, but the first one to really come out officially was the Tale of Two Cities. Very cool. Very cool. And then from there on, it's just like endless records, like producer after producer, and stuff after stuff, yeah?
Yeah, because I went to Channel One to do that one song. A lot of producers were there, and they hear, you know, me singing. Plus, I think the song did pretty good in England on its first release, and I think a couple of the producers got feedback out of England, and some people searched me down to record me. Some people just took the opportunity because I was Channel One to record me.
Okay, very cool, very nice. I love it. So, when you started recording, did you keep the sound system going, or did you just put the sound system down for a little while? What happened to the sound? Or did you keep them both going?
Well, after I started recording, basically, Noel, the other partners, Noel and Vasu was the one running the sound system. But I was still going around the sound system singing, but I wasn't partaking in it every day running up the sound system.
Right. Very cool. So you still spar with them and chat up with them, but you weren't like carrying boxes every day and stuff like that.
Nah.
And I also read that you built amplifiers for your sound. You built your own amplifier for your sound?
Oh yeah. Me and Noel, we were the ones that build amplifiers, you know. But I was more like building like the pre-amp part of it. Noel was the one that building the power amp, and I was the one building the pre-amps.
Okay, very nice. So you learned how to build amps or learned electricity from tinkering around, or you were someone's apprentice? How did you get involved into that part? Because that's pretty deep. That's getting pretty deep into the...
Yeah. I was apprenticed with... there was this radio engineer at RJR, which is one of the stations in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And me and Noel was apprentice with Earl Toiler. He taught me electronics because, like, he had a lot of books. So I'm a bookworm, so I just sort of read, and he showed us practical stuff. So Mr. Toiler is the one that, you know, I have to go back. I'm glad that subject came up because Mr. Toiler is the one that really, you know, my interest in electronics because, like, even to this day, I do electronics. I don't build amp and stuff like that, but I like the last work I do was like I was installing that system for T-Mobile when I went on tour. My friend he had this project and I went and I did it. So I just love doing wiring and all that stuff.
Very cool. That is awesome. I just
love it.
And then you really have to understand the sound and all the waves and all the signs and everything and frequencies and pressure and all that stuff.
Right.
Very cool stuff. So you've been working on some new stuff, right? So that was the history. You amp builder, sound man, start recording, and other people pick you up, and singer and DJ, Lone Ranger, that's your crew and your posse and everything.
Right.
And then so you had like a bunch of hit records, 100 Pounds of Kali Weed, Trotting Through the Jungle. You have like several greatest hits collections. But people that know Carlson Livingston know that stuff. But like, what are you doing now? What's going on now?
Now I am a record company in Paris, Timex Records.
Okay.
We just re-released some songs on download, and we just re-released Bridge of Life LP with about 10 songs.
Okay.
Plus, we release a lot of singles. And we have like download ParisDJs.com. You could go there and find a lot of stuff that, you know, that's a lot of people don't know about.
ParisDJs?
And ParisDJs.com.
Okay, very cool.
And we do most of our work out of Paris. And we got like new stuff coming out. You know, the corona kind of slowed on a couple of stuff. But actually this morning I talked to the engineer and it was like, you know, they're mixing some stuff to release pretty soon. So
great.
You know, I have a lot of new stuff coming out of, especially Europe, on Article Label. I just released Rastakana on Article Label. And a couple of songs out of Sweden and Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got stuff coming out from Europe.
Okay. So you guys look out for all that brand new stuff from Carlton Livingston. Now, Carlton, not only have you been recording, but you... up until Corona, you were hitting the road, yeah? You're playing a lot of shows in Europe and everything, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Actually, before the Corona, I had gone the road like for about 8 years, but I toured Europe like 12 years continuously, sometimes 3 times a year.
Wow.
And then I took a break like for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But before the Corona, I was set to go on a European tour from June to July.
Mm-hmm.
But the corona changed all that plan, so we're reshuffling it back to next year.
Yeah. You're supposed to touch the West Coast the year before that. We almost got you out here and stuff. That was things kind of got mixed up.
Yeah.
But still, because we lost Sierra Nevada and we lost Reagan the River, you probably would have been on one or both of those, so... kind of mess things up, but still, still keep pushing on, and you know things are going to get better, and I'm sure we're going to see you here really soon. You know, So you got all this new music stuff. I'm doing this series of interviews, talking to people about well, their careers and everything, but specifically dub music, and I want to know what dub music means to you.
Dub music for me is getting to express what the sound most people who have sound, what they want to express with their sound system that they're playing. So when I do what a sound man would want to hear or play, or like an introduction or with certain tunes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do dub, I try to convey what the sound man, sound woman, or the sound person want to convey to their listeners with my dub.
So you think dub is a good medium for the selector to convey what he wants the audience or the listener to capture from what he's feeling? You think that dub music is the best conduit for that?
Yeah, dub music. For instance, when I go on tour in Japan, I end up singing dubs for songs that I don't even remember that I release. You know, and it, like a couple of years ago, we were on tour, and this guy came to me with a song. I was like, I need this on dub. And I was like, okay, I want to tell me about the song. I said, I know nothing about that song. When he played it, I would say, okay, yeah, I'm about to record it, but for who?
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me the label. And that's what he wants on dub, to express himself and his sound system for people to hear, is the rarity of the songs that I have done.
Right.
Most people just cut my 4 top tunes, which is not a problem.
Right.
But what it is that even when they cut it like that, it is very hard for you to find most of it sound the same way, because I always change it up.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
Yeah, I always change it up. And what I'm doing is expressing, as I said, the selector, the owner, and the people that listen to the song, what they want to hear in that genre.
Okay. So earlier in the interview, you were saying that when you were playing, when you were selecting for in Fantastic Three, you played a lot of Joe Gibbs dubs and Studio One dubs.
Yeah. Because at that time, you probably might call us dubheads at that time.
Okay.
Because most of my recordings that I have done over the years, the other day, someone was telling me about a song, and I forgot all about the song, and the person said to me, it's from this album, this dub, I forget which dub album. And he was like, don't you remember? And I was like, no. And I said, no, I was trying to figure out where that rhythm came from. And when I look back, and I remember I was sitting on the back of the house, and I was like, you know what? No, I understand what this is all about, because we don't just play dub album. We really, the only set of vocals we play were like John Wall, Delroy Wilson, Eptones, mm-hmm. a couple other people. But we're almost playing like dubs.
Dub sound, yeah, man.
Raw dub album off the studio one.
A lot of King Tubby stuff, aggravators and stuff like that.
No, we weren't playing King Tubby stuff. We're playing like mostly studio one stuff.
Okay.
Because we knew this guy who would go up there and get dubs after the rhythm tracks,
uh-huh.
and therefore, and we were playing like exclusive studio one and place that nobody was playing dubs.
Wicked, I love it. That's the style, dub plate.
dub. Yep.
Wicked stuff. Well, what I noticed, the reason I got into the dub is because with all this time, I picked up on what's going on in Europe, and in Europe, the sound system culture is huge,
oh, yeah.
massive, way bigger than it is here in the United States. It's like a fraction of what they got over there, and I really feel like that movement, that wave of dub and sound system is going to come over here to the United States. And,
it's just a matter of time. It's just, slowly creeping.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. All the other people, Joe said the same thing, Delonzo, a lot of them, Kirk, a lot of the people I interviewed for the series have said, it's coming. It's a big wave, and we can see it, here on the front line, because, we love reggae and dub stuff, but the other people can't see it, but we can here. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
So, where do you see the future of the music? Where do you think reggae is going? You think it's going
reggae,
back to roots, or are we going to go more electronic, or what do you think?
I think reggae is going to go more back to the roots. It's going to evolve right back to the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it's a generational thing going on, but what's happening is that there are people over the world that is into the roots, and mm-hmm. I see that bigger than even the generation, I think, that is going on with the music. So it's gonna take time to evolve back into the roots, because once it goes back in that roots, because reggae is about reality, sufferation, mm-hmm. Optimistic views and stuff like that,
yeah.
prison,
yeah.
Entity, whatever it is, so it's gonna just evolve right back over to that.
Yeah, as it should.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, well, hey, Carlton, it's beautiful talking to you. I love all the vibes and stuff and everything. Before we go, mm-hmm. you said when you built your amp it was a KV-88, and you moved from like a 10-inch speaker to a 12-inch to a 15 or something like that. So what was it like building your sound system back then?
It was exciting because we were young. We're like 18, 19,
Yeah.
It was so exciting to be able to do that stuff. And then hear it playing music,
mm-hmm.
the quality.
Yeah.
Because like for all the years, I remember Mr. Twilight always taught us about, stuff like that. And it's about quality.
Uh-huh.
Your sound has to sound clean and nice, not distorted and loud.
Right.
So we always stick with quality.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Twilight said to it, always about the quality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was just the joy of being to hear the speakers be playing and and people enjoying themselves and the music sound just, because I remember like we were playing like some dub albums like people always ask me about Trance with the Jungle, and I said to them, mm-hmm. when we started listening to Trance with the Jungle, we did not hear Tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
all we knew was the dub of that song.
Right.
And after a while, even me personally, when I really hear Tribulation, I always say, oh, that song is massive to me. I love listening to that song, but. Mm-hmm. I never heard it until after I recorded Trance of the Jungle.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, because we're just playing dubs.
Yeah, you were into the dub music. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're just into dubs, yeah.
That's killer. So to hear those rhythms on your freshly constructed sound system that you just soldered and plug-in and everything. That was life, right?
It was fantastic. It was a fantastic trip. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
So you guys played with other sounds and Clash, or you guys just like a dub one away sound?
Sometimes we played Clash, but we never really played Clash. We just played one away because our concept of the sound system was to play one away and gather people around to listen with the variety of music that we were playing.
Yeah, you weren't into all the hype and I'm the king and you're not and all this other
stuff. We never looked titles.
Yeah.
We never looked titles.
Yeah, man. Well, that's a really cool vibe. I love all that. Mm-hmm. And then one thing I was thinking back that we didn't talk about was your band group called Knowledge.
Oh, no, and Knowledge is not really my group. My friend and one of my mentor and one of the people in the world that I give credit for me to be a singer is my friend Doyle from the group Knowledge.
Okay.
Because when we were going to Trenchstone, he took me around Trenchstone, took me to recording studios to record. We never did anything, but he's always dragging me along. Uh-huh. Because I always relate this to people. I never wanted to sing. I was never interested in singing.
Mm-hmm.
I never was. It was really Doyle and Tony Walcott was the two influential people in my life that really dragged me towards singing or encouraged me.
So you were content just playing the sound, but these guys are like, no man, you can sing, you have a voice or something, yeah?
I would just love playing the sound and sing on the sound. That was it. Uh-huh. That was it. And then when I start to write, my friends usually say to me, "You're writing all this stuff." Mm-hmm. What in Jamaica, because the way the business is set up, most people don't want to sing. Most people don't want to sing what you write.
Right.
They want to write their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another factor which I won't go into why they don't want to sing your stuff. My friends always say to me, you know, sing your stuff, sing what you write. And that's all. I really get up and start to sing. I had to express myself with my writing.
Mm-hmm. Wicked, 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 wicked stuff. I love it. Rumors, Fret Them a Fret, all that stuff, man.
Yep.
Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked, wicked stuff, man. Right on, man. Well, hey, your contribution to the reggae has been amazing. We love you. And like I told you, I caught a vibe. I was playing Wicked Can't Run Away on the Jah Life label. And I'm like, yo, man, that's a tune. That's a big tune. Let me reach out to Carlton and say what's going on.
That song is a song that, you know, Glenn Roy sings this song. And then you get killed over in Green Bay. And because that's my tribute to Glenn Roy.
Okay.
You know, because after recording the song, he got killed over in Green Bay, and he never lived to see what the song turned out to be. And Jah Life is the one that really said to me, you need to sing this song, because you're an East man, Glenn Roy is a Central Kingston man, basically the same thing. So, you know, let's pay homage to him. So that's why we end up doing Wicked Runaway.
Mm-hmm. So you guys really did divide up the categories of singers. Your East man, Central man, West Waterhouse.
It was just naturally divided because of location. It just happened because of the location.
Just the location alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Wicked. Well, right on, man. Very cool talking to you, Carlton.
Yeah,
again, thanks for your time, contribution, and everything. We hope to see you very soon, and we'll look out for your albums. And you know, you guys can find Carlton Livingston just do a plain Google search, and you can see his discography, amazing stuff, and check him out on his social medias and stuff. Okay, so with that, give thanks, Carlton.
Yes, give thanks, Carlos. Give thanks.
Yeah, man. All right, I got it.
All right, I got it.
That last song was dedicated to everyone who missed it because they were in the bathroom changing their tampon. And the next 12 hours of songs are for anyone who's trying the Diva Cup for the first time and is currently kicking back with uninterrupted period protection. Sound good to you? Check out the world's number one menstrual cup for yourself at shopdiva.com and get 10% off with code RADIO10. Conditions apply.